This is November 14th, Monday, and the topic this month is Wonderful World.
Good evening. I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Every week I say that. I hope that it's slowly sinking in. I hope you're getting a new concept of who you are. I hope you're getting a new concept of what this thing that we call God is. My concept of this whole thing, and this is only mine, you may use it, take it, do whatever you want with it, is, you know, they have the Big Bang Theory, and that everything started with this Big Bang. Well, if there was nothing but consciousness to start with, and we're going to call consciousness in this case God, just this big blank thing, this big consciousness, and God not getting lonely, not getting this, but God wanting to experience something, had an idea. And that idea caused the Big Bang. And that set everything in motion. That made all the planets, and that made all the life that is available here. Now, you can look at that in many different ways, because we know Darwin, we know that it takes time to do that. They say this planet is billions of years old, and this, that, and the other thing. This is all true, but you have to remember that there's no time in the mind of God. Everything is instantaneous. So this is all an idea in the mind of God. And you are an idea and always were an idea in the mind of God. And you will continue to be an idea in the mind of God. You have all those wonderful attributes that we attribute to God. And I think that God wanted to experience this plane of action and experience a universe. Because if you're all just consciousness and you're just floating around, you have to be able to feel and see and do and be. So, the idea that this consciousness came up with was, let's make a universe and let's make planets and let's people the planets. We are taught that this is the only planet where this type of life exists. We don't know if that's true, because this universe is so vast, so big, that no one knows how far it stretches. We'll say that it stretches forever and ever. So there may be other life forms out there. They may look like us. They may not look like us. But the main thing is to think of this is, you are here because of this thing called God, and you are here to experience this wonderful world we live in, so that God gathers information, so that God is experiencing. When you're experiencing something, God is experiencing that. When you're feeling something, God is feeling something. This big thing called consciousness, or the mind of God, has to be able to feel things, has to be able to know things, and it gathers that through us. So we are very valuable to this thing called God. We are connected to this thing called God, and we are this thing called God. Now, that is just my idea on it. We can debate that. You can do anything. But the thing that I would like for you to do is to think, how do you think about it? What do you think about? You see, instead of accepting my idea, you may accept that and you may add to it or subtract from it, or you can just throw it out. It's immaterial. But what I would like you to think of is something more than what you have been conditioned to think that God is. I would like you to be able to think for yourselves, so that you're not a puppet to your conditioning, so that you don't swallow what you have heard all your life from religious institutions, so that you realize that it's much more. These religious institutions are all well, they're grand and all, but are they serving you? And is it serving you? If it's not serving you, then it is no good whatsoever. So you have to come to your own conclusions of what's going on. And it's always going to be something, I believe, greater than we can ever imagine and can ever see. But it's certainly got to be greater than a God taking on a man figure, living in the sky and sending down lightning bolts and whatever else people think that God did or does or still does. So, what is your concept of this thing called God? Try to get a concept of that for yourself, and try to get a concept of what you are. Know that you are more than this human body. You are more than the children of your parents. You are more than any of the ideas that you're holding at the present moment, you see. And most people don't think past the conditioning of this world. And this world is here to condition you. But I believe that we are in this world to enjoy this world and to see the beauty in this world and learn to enjoy our own selves and our own lives in this world. That we are doing something wonderful just by getting up in the morning and looking around and seeing what a wonderful world we live in. We have to be able to do that. Then come to that conclusion that not only are you part of God, not only are you one with God, that you are becoming God. Because God had to experience all this through us. So, you may take that, you may leave it, you may do whatever you want with it. But get a concept for yourself. Don't just read all the stuff that it's out there, and don't listen to all the different churches and so forth that tell you this, that, and the other thing. You have to come to a conclusion yourself of what you're all about, what the world is all about, and what this thing that we call God is all about, you see. And did man invent God, or did God invent man? There it is, we don't know. But I think we're all one. I think that this is a wonderful experience that we are having. We have our ups, we have our downs, there is sorrow, there is sickness, there is all kinds of things going on. But when you look at it differently, if you look at it through the eyes of love, if you know that you don't have to suffer from what I call the nits and fleas of life, your life will change. You will see this wonderful world that we live in. And I'm very fond of saying, you know, when people say, oh, this is a horrible world and all this, that, and the other thing, this planet that we live on cannot be hostile. Any planet that produces flowers cannot be hostile. So think of that when you see a flower. Where else do you see that beauty? The Buddhists think that if you can see the beauty in a flower, you can see the universe, in the whole universe. And it's absolutely wonderful if you look closely at these things. I was telling somebody the other day, the whole idea, see, we rush through this whole experience. We rush through life. We rush through dinner. We rush through everything. When you eat, be conscious of what you're eating. Be conscious of that. How does it taste? How does it smell? How does it feel? When you swallow, what is going on? You see, you have to be able to enjoy this whole process, everything about this process. Somebody said to me recently about food and so forth, and I said, I love to look at food. I keep all my food, if I have a banana, an apple, a gourd, anything. Casey just gave me a lotus root, by the way. I put that out, and I look at it. And I'm very thankful that that food is there for me. And I give thanks for that food while I'm looking at it, long before I decide to eat it. Andy recently has been teaching me how to play chess, and he eats at my home. I happen to be a very good cook. A very good cook. And people say to me, you're a very good cook. How does that happen? How did you learn to be a cook? I learned to be a cook, and I can cook almost anything, and if I served it to you, you would love it. Why? Because I cook it with love. I love doing it, and I put love into it when I'm cooking. This is why it's nice to eat out in a restaurant, but you can't eat restaurant food all your life and be healthy. You have to make your own food. You have to eat food that has love in it. Casey blesses all his food before you eat it, do you not? You have to do that. You have to bless your food. We used to do blessings. That was a thing that Aborigines learned a long time ago. If they killed something, they blessed it. And when they ate it, they blessed it for giving up its life. And we used to pray at a table. I don't know how many people pray now at a table or not. But the whole idea is to put love into everything that you're doing. If you put love into everything that you're doing, you're going to see this world differently. I think that putting love into things, your health improves, everything improves. You just don't eat for the sake of eating. It's wonderful. I love food, but I love food because I put love into the food. And I thank the people who grow it. I do all that kind of thing. You have to see all the connections with everything. Otherwise, you're just eating. You're just doing things. You're not mindful, as the Buddhists say. You must become mindful of everything that you're doing. So are you doing that for yourself? Or are you just gulping food down? Have you ever seen somebody just wolf something down? You can get away with that, but not for long. But not for long. If you put love into your food and all, and I'll make this big statement, by the way, anyone who is suffering from indigestion, heartburn, and so forth, they're not putting love into their food. I have never taken an antacid. I don't get heartburn. I don't get whatever those things are called. Any of that stuff. Because the food that I put in my mouth is loaded with love. If you gulp things down that you don't bless, you don't fill with love, your body gives you heartburn. It's not the food. It's the idea. You see, it's the idea. But you gulp things down, and I would imagine if you had stock in Tums, you would be a multimillionaire by now. If you had that. Because everyone I know is on some kind of antacid. I don't have any of it. I've never bought a Tum or taken one in my entire life. I have no intentions of ever taking any. But you have to put the love into it. You have to see the thing. I've told you many times, I love opening up my refrigerator. It gives me a great thrill to look in there and see the food. I just love that. It's like a painting to me or something. But I keep my things out. This lotus root that Casey gave me, I'll pass it around for you. I will do this on Thursday, this lotus root. But in the meantime, why it is with me and why it is in my home, I will be looking at it, I will be loving it, and I will be thankful that I have it. You may pass that. This is what you're going to miss in the finest of restaurants, because you don't know if they're yelling and screaming and cussing and swearing and carrying on. I'm throwing things in the kitchen. All that energy goes into the food. It goes into the food. So, anyway. Yes?
I've got it. I don't even recite over it. I put my hands open, but I'm able to just breathe into it.
Yes. Yes. Breathe in. Just do that for yourself.
How do you prepare that?
How do I prepare that? I you cut it, you know, and it's for a lung and heart. It's very good for your lungs and your heart. If you cut that, if I had a knife, I would cut it for you. The inside is loaded with little pockets that look just like your lungs.
Okay.
And I will probably do that with some onion and so forth, and in a nice vegetable broth. And I will make thick slices of it. And it's absolutely delicious. Yes.
What's it called?
It's a lotus root. Yes, from the, and you all know, you know about a lotus, the beautiful plant, and we're always, if you see Buddhas, most Buddhas, well not most, but a lot of Buddhas, are sitting on a lotus blossom. They're sitting on a lotus blossom because the lotus blossom is supposed to have 1,000 leaves, I believe, and they each unfold. And that's what we are. Our life is like a lotus blossom. It's unfolding a little bit at a time, and each petal is coming down, you see. And that's why the Buddha sits on a lotus blossom. So, anyway, these are things to make you appreciate this wonderful thing called life and this wonderful world that we're living in. The world produces this for us. You see, it produces wonderful things for us. You see, you have to know that instead of just saying, oh, it's a potato, I'll just smash it up and eat it. You know, I look at my potatoes. I have all my vegetables, all my fruits, all that kind of stuff is out in my kitchen for me to look at because I get great joy out of seeing the food itself. And then I get great joy out of preparing it and seeing what it can do for me. What it can do for me. So there's always that relationship going back and forth with anything. And you have to have a relationship with food. People that are overweight, people that have eating problems and so forth, have a bad relationship with food. If you have a good relationship with food, I eat a great deal. And I do not put on a great deal of weight, you know. I do not put on a great deal of weight. Try to appreciate everything. Try to appreciate this world you're living in. And see how wonderful it is. We talked about that last week, and we're going to talk about that during this month, which is a wonderful month. November is a harvest month. So here again, use these different things in the season. This is a season of harvesting. Now, if you look around and you see nature, which we are a part of, and the harvest is coming in, what does that mean metaphysically for you? It means if you're doing treatment work, if you're waiting for something to come to you, if you're waiting for a manifestation to come, you should claim that manifestation now because this is the time of harvest. This is the time that you harvest. You see? Wonderful time of the year. A wonderful time of the year. I would like to just say one more thing about the harvest. When you're trying to manifest something, you have to know that it is already done. So if you look at a barren field, you must know that the harvest is already there. You must know that the harvest is already there. So use this month of November as that. And I think it's wonderful. And in November, we have this day that we set aside that we call Thanksgiving. And we bring all the harvest together, all the things we bring together, you see. And how many people have been at a Thanksgiving in a dysfunctional family where they might as well not even bothered to cook the food because they're all yelling, screaming, and hating each other while they're doing it? That is not a Thanksgiving. That is not a Thanksgiving. Here again, you do not have to have tons of people around you to have a Thanksgiving. You can do that by yourself and be thankful by yourself on the matter, okay? Hey, there you are. How are you? I'm going to pass this around, and will you read this? It's a little lengthy tonight, but see what you can do.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way.
And I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way. We all come from this one source, but we do it individually. You have to do it in your own way. Let's go back a moment with that. In our own way, what do you think about God? I just told you earlier my concept of that and what I'm working on. Now, what is your way of doing it? I like to also, in this thing, what I liked here is the idea of tandem. Tandem means together. It means doing something together. And what I think of is the bicycle. The two-seated bicycle, that's in tandem. Now, God is on the back seat, and I'm on the front seat. Why is God on the back seat? Because God, I'm directing it, but God is the power behind that. God is the power behind that. So if you think of that, you're on a bicycle. A tandem bicycle or two-seater bicycle. The one in back is doing the pedaling. That is God. God is always going to do the work. I told you this before. The idea is, why are you trying to work harder than God? Why are you trying to work harder than God? You can't outwork God, but everyone wants to work harder than God. Why don't you let God do the peddling and you'll steer? And you'll steer, you see? So think of that. Think of that. I'm in tandem with God. You can't be in tandem. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be with anything else. There's no other power in the universe to be in tandem with. So why don't you become in tandem with God? And if you can use that idea of the bicycle, I use that. If you can come up with something else that works better for you, please use it. When I give you these little things to remember something like the bicycle and so forth, the mind remembers this much easier than if I would spout out a whole bunch of theological nonsense, you see. So if you can remember, God is peddling for you. God is doing the work. You are here to enjoy the ride. You are here to do the steering. But God is the power behind that. And God will take you where you want to go. So look at it in any way you want. But the whole idea is, don't try to work harder than God. Many people here are in 12-step programs or have been in 12-step programs or certainly know somebody in a 12-step program. And the whole idea there is to let go and let God. Let go for a change. If you let go and start to enjoy this wonderful world that you live in, if you let go and start to enjoy yourself, and don't try to work harder than God. It's an impossibility. But the world wants you to do that. The world wants you to do that. You say, oh, I've got to catch up. I just as soon sit and steer and know that I am being propelled. I'm being propelled. You see, this is a way you have to look at the thing. If you're going to get to a point where you really, really, truly love this world and love the experience in this world. And you can always get upset, you can get depressed. I can get very depressed. As I said to somebody today, I said years ago, before I came into this teaching and so forth, I would get depressed. Now I can get depressed maybe 15 minutes at the most, and then I get myself right out of it and I get bored. Where years ago, I could get depressed for 20 years. I could stay in depression for 20 years. There's no joy in that depression. There's no joy there. You do not love yourself. You do not love life. You have to be able to enjoy this experience, this thing that we call life, and you have to love this world regardless, with all its nits and fleas and all that. So when I'm sitting at the computer, when I said earlier I could get very depressed, I can get very depressed when it says, you know, save the whales, save the foxes, save the wolves, save the polar bears. We're running out of this. This is happening. Oh, my. You could go right down the tubes. Don't do that to yourself. Somebody said to me, do you think that this world will keep going? I firmly believe that God created this world and it will keep going. And the stuff that we need will be here for us. Now, when I say this world will keep going, will humans, as we know them today, keep going? That I am not so sure of. Because, you see, consciousness can take any form that it wants to take. And God is consciousness. We no longer had the dinosaurs because they didn't work. God said, oh, that's the wrong consciousness. Let's let them go. If we don't pay attention, if we don't start to enjoy, if we don't start to enjoy the world we live in, if we don't start to enjoy our own selves and understand that this is a wonderful experience and a wonderful life that we're having, consciousness can easily say, I will create something else that we'll appreciate, that will enjoy, you see. But we've been taught that we are the superior things, that we are the top of the ladder here, or the food chain, or whatever they call that, that we are absolutely superior. We are not absolutely superior, you see. We are superior, but we're not absolutely superior, because at any moment, consciousness can change, and it can take any form that it wants to take. So, don't let that be a downer to you. Say to yourself, I'm going to start to appreciate myself. I'm going to start to see this wonderful world we live in. I'm going to appreciate everything around me. There is just absolute wonder everywhere. Absolute wonder everywhere. Doesn't matter where you are, you can find wonder. We are led to believe that we can't do that unless we have tons of money, or we can't do that unless we have this, that, or the other thing. That's the world again trying to pedal the bike. Why don't you let God pedal the bike? Instead of taking the world as your partner, take God as your partner and be in tandem with God instead of in tandem with the world. I realize that the world is very convincing, but why would you want it to convince you of these things? Why would you want it to convince you? You see? Do not allow that to happen. So, don't work harder than God. Do not work harder than God. Then we have this other idea in the world that we must accomplish something, we must do something, we must become something, a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, or whatever that is. You may do that. But is that the end-all, be-all? I, here again, my idea, the end-all, be-all in life is not only to enjoy yourself and enjoy this wonderful world, but you are here to help other people and to make other people happy. To make other people happy. To do things for other people. Now, that does not mean that you become a doormat, and we hear a great deal, and I'm not sure ever how I feel about you must be in service to somebody. I'm not talking about service. I'm saying do something nice for somebody. Even if it's open a door, bring in their mail, do something for somebody else. It will help you in life. It will help your life and make you feel so much better. Because when you just concentrate constantly on yourself, you're not expanding your consciousness at all. You are shrinking. And the idea is to expand. The more you can expand, the greater your life is going to be. This is a great big world and a great big universe we live in. And we must grow and grow and grow and grow. But many people are shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Don't do that to yourselves. Enjoy, 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 and love, 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 and of course, appreciate. So it has to start with you, and it has to start with your idea of yourself. Who are you? What are you? And what are you doing? You see, what are you doing? Are you enjoying? Are you really enjoying yourself? Are you enjoying your life? Do you know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. And this life you're having matters. The life that you're living matters. And you're the one that is doing that. You're the one that is causing your life. So if you want your life to matter, how are you going to go about that? You're going to go about that by learning that it's a wonderful world that you live in, that you're absolutely delighted to be alive. I have a little dog. I walk him every night, and I run into a young man. His name is David, and his dog's name is, I forget his dog's name. It'll come to me. And I say, how are you? Last night, I said, how are you? He said, well, if I didn't have to get up tomorrow and go to work, I'd be fine. And he's very young. I bet he's like 20-something. Already he hates going to work. Already hates going to work. I had many funny jobs, many difficult jobs, and many menial type jobs. I never hated getting up in the morning and going to work. Never hated going to work. How can you hate going to work? You see? You cannot do that. That's like hating to cook. People say, oh, I hate to cook. Well, then I don't eat at their house. Why would I eat at somebody's house who hates to cook? This makes sense, right? You don't do it. I just don't do it. You have to love what you're doing, and you have to love this experience. And only you can make up your mind. Connor is the dog's name, by the way. I knew it would come to me. Nothing is ever lost in mind, people. It may escape for a moment, but it can never be lost. Don't be like this young man who is so young. so young and hasn't even experienced life yet and is already down on it. And most of you people are young. So don't get down on life before you've even experienced it. It's a wonderful ride. It's a wonderful ride. I don't know if you remember when Jackie Kennedy died. She said this: I had a wonderful race. I had a wonderful race. She was not angry that she was dying, and she was not angry that she was going to die. She looked at her life and said, I had a wonderful race. And that's what you must look at and say, I had a wonderful life. You know? And if you haven't to this point, forget that. Forget the past, for goodness sakes. And start over right here and right now and say, from this day forward, I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy my life. Because there's no alternative, people. There's no alternative. You're here. You are here. So do it now. There's a wonderful other expression that I love, and it's this: learn to bloom where you are planted. Learn to bloom where you're planted. You are here. So learn to bloom here. You see? And you can do that. Doesn't matter. You know, people want to take the geographical cure. Oh, if I move here, I'll feel better. No, you won't. You'll be the exact same person because you always take yourself with you. You will never escape yourself. Now, what's so important about that you'll never escape yourself? You see, many people think, well, when I die, I will escape myself. Death does not improve people. You're not going to be improved when you die. You're taking your consciousness right with you. You're taking everything with you. You can't take the material things, but the rest is going to be there. So you might as well learn now, so that when you move on to the next stage in your life, you'll already have learned this lesson, to learn to bloom where you are planted. Learn to enjoy where you are right here and right now. And know that it is a wonderful experience. And if it isn't so wonderful, I think about my life sometimes. I go, oh my goodness, well, that was an experience and a half. Some of the experiences weren't as pleasant as I wanted them to be. But I will tell you this. For the last 30 years, or more, maybe more closer to 35 years now, life has absolutely been wonderful. Every experience I had has been absolutely wonderful because I've learned to look at it differently. And I've learned to see this world as a wonderful, wonderful place to live. And I'm delighted that I'm here. I'm delighted that I am alive. And that's what you have to tell yourself. I'm glad to be alive. I'm delighted to be alive. You see? Charles Fillmore lived to be, I think, 96 or 98 years old. Charles Fillmore was the founder of Unity. And in his 90s, he did an affirmation which was, I sizzle with life. I sizzle with life. You have a life. Why aren't you sizzling? Why aren't you bubbling over with the excitement of being alive? And you can do that. You have to do that. You don't do that because you let your mind tell you something else. And what the mind is telling you is an absolute illusion. What your mind is telling you is an absolute illusion. You have to know the truth. And the truth is, you are here on this plane of action, on this wonderful planet, to enjoy yourself. to enjoy yourself and to experience all the wonderful things that are here. Now you can choose, because you always have free will and everything, you can choose not to experience it and to run around and be depressed, to do this and to do that. That is your choice. I have no sympathy for depressed people. I would like to just give them one big kick in the rear end and say, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Is that cruel? I don't think so. I don't have time for it anymore. I'm reaching a stage in my life, not that I am impatient, and not that I think I'm going to leave this plane of action, but I am becoming very discriminating, and I don't have time for nonsense anymore. I don't have time for depression. I can't devote any time to these things that go nowhere. I only have time to enjoy. I only have time to enjoy, and I do not postpone that. I do not postpone my enjoyment. I have joy all the time. All the time, and that's what we want, and that's what you want, and I'm sure, and I'll make that big statement, I'm sure that that's what this thing you call God wants from you, is to enjoy. God could not create you, throw you down here and say, now, get depressed. Now, get this and do that. You are created to enjoy, to be happy, to have fun, to be excited, to sizzle with life. To sizzle with life. And you can do it. And it's easy. All the things that I just told you are very easy. It all comes from noticing something different, from appreciating it, from your food to everything else you do. To appreciate it, you see? You appreciate that you have a toothbrush. You say you have to. I love my toothbrush. See? But I love almost everything. And if I don't love it, it's not around me. Why would I have something around me that I didn't love? Doesn't make sense a lot of it. Oh, I hate where I live. Well, then move. Then move, for goodness sakes. Why would you live where you hate it? Well, I don't know. I just go about my business. How does this give up my backhand? No, we have to wake up. We have to wake up. It's getting later all the time. Okay. Sizzle with life, people. Enjoy this world. Love this world. Love yourselves. I know that this is a wonderful experience. Now I have some cards. You must be here with your body and mind united. You must always bring your mind into your body. You know, your mind goes everywhere. You say, it can float all over the place. If I'm thinking of my family in Pennsylvania, my mind is there. It's not here. I come back. Come back. Before you start anything, bring your mind into your body. You see, people do that. Do not keep their mind in their body. They are working. They're doing this. They're doing that. Keep your mind in your body, and keep your mind on what you're doing. I have a sister-in-law, you know, that can't do the ironing because her mind goes someplace else. She can't keep her mind. It goes in all kinds of directions. And usually, and I used to say this, and I'll bring it up again tonight. Your mind is a bad neighborhood. Do not go into it alone. Your mind is a bad neighborhood. Do not go into it alone. The truth is that I created you in my image and likeness, and you are destined to realize this equality in its fullest measure. The missing link in this realization has been the surface mind and its tendency to remain focused in the wrong direction. You have to focus your mind in the right direction. You are equal with this Creator. You are one with this Creator. Do not allow your mind to take you in the wrong direction. Come back, come back, come back. I often talk about Charles, Raymond Charles Barker in New York. You know, when he was talking, his mind would go. And he would stop and say, come back now. And then he would go on. You have to keep your mind. There are no rigid laws that say you must accept the consequences of your mistakes. There are no rigid laws that say you must accept the consequences of your mistakes. The world tells you that. Do not do it. So many people punish themselves for something in the past, something they did, a bad relationship, a bad marriage, a bad this, a bad that. Give that up for God's sake. Each must learn for himself how to live. This is for you, Casey. Each must learn for himself how to live upward, as it were, through thought, into the realm of feeling, and then into the realm of being. It's thought, feeling, and being. Thought, feeling, and being. It's an upward journey. And you must come to the idea of being. Being what? Being one with this thing called God. Upward, you can do that. It is indeed... It is indeed not robbery to be equal with God. Isn't that wonderful? It is, again, not robbery to be equal with God. We are taught that that is heresy. Who made that up? Somebody that wanted to control something. Don't listen to it. And here, I am made in the image and likeness of God. And that, metaphysically, I'm made in the image and likeness of God. Inwardly. God does not look like a human being, people. All you have to do is believe in your own self. All you have to do is believe in your own self. You believe in your own self, and you realize that this all can be true, and it can be true for you. You truly do live in a wonderful world, and it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.